This is The Hollywood Outsider, and I am your host, Aaron Peterson, and you can always find our episodes at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is a special episode of our show, as today we are speaking to actor Kevin Sizemore about his new film, Woodlawn. Woodlawn tells the story of Tony Nathan, a young African-American football player in the 1970s who joined an all-white school when that just wasn't done. This is a true story about a man who relies on his talent and his faith to carry him through the struggles that come with that. It is a true story, and it is winning audiences across the country over. It is a huge hit. I think it's got about 89% on Rotten Tomatoes, and just critics love it, and I have family and friends that have seen it, and they said it's a great film. I definitely recommend it. Kevin has been an actor for over 20 years. He's been in films like Transformers Dark Side of the Moon and The Christmas Tree Miracle, and tons of TV work as well, such as Under the Dome, Resurrection, 24, you know I love 24, and Prison Break, NCIS, and many more. Today, he is here to talk about what it's like to be a working actor, his work in that film Woodlawn, and we even discuss the stigma that seems to be attached to faith-based movies. Really honest and open conversation. I think you're really going to enjoy the interview. It is a really interesting interview with a talented actor and just an all-around great guy. Just a super guy. It was very, very friendly and open and willing to talk about whatever. I think you guys have heard enough of me rambling, so let's just take a listen to my interview with Woodlawn actor Kevin Sizemore. Hey, Kevin. This is Aaron with Hollywood Outsider.
Hi, Aaron. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Good. Things are good. How's things going for you? You touting the movie? You out on the press tour doing junkets? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm back home for 2 days. I'm actually in the studio today with the director of my next film that I'm working on, Billy Dixon. I don't know if you know Billy's work, but he was on Ally McBeal for 9 years. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the studio today prepping for our film called Believe that we start shooting first of next year.
What's that one going to be about?
Christmas film with Miles Brown from Black-ish and Ryan O'Quinn. He's a comedian.
Oh, and, very nice.
It's a film that takes place in Southern Virginia. It's a feel-good story. Has a lot of heartache going along the way, but it comes out to be a good feel-good movie.
Well, before I get into Woodlawn, I do want to ask you about yourself a little bit, if that's all right.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, how many actors do you know that don't like to talk about themselves?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I'm just joking, man. Go ahead.
Well, you started in Maxwell House commercials and Matlock, which I'm a huge Matlock fan, by the way. I love that show when it was on.
Yeah.
How did you get to Hollywood to begin with? I mean, what made you decide to be an actor?
Yeah, here's how it all started. I was in high school, and a Maxwell House coffee commercial was coming through town, and I asked my parents if I could take this day off school, and my dad took me over, and I got on as an extra, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the world to be in a commercial, and it just kind of gave me the bug. I wanted to go to college to be an actor, and I just didn't really know which route to take. So I went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh, and it was more of a trade school, behind the scenes filming, radio, a little bit of acting. I ended up becoming the guinea pig for all the acting jobs. I would freelance on anything I could get my hands on. I would moonlight. I was in Citizen Kane, Bob Roberts, Hoffa, all those movies I was extras in, just trying to learn the business and then go to school during the daytime. After I graduated, I moved to New York, and I was there doing extra work and trying to figure it out. I was there for a while. I went to South Carolina, and in South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, I started doing theater and really getting my feet wet and learning what it is to be an actor and doing industrials and getting jobs in the Atlanta market, in the North and South Carolina market. From there, I took a weekend and went to Nashville for a casting director workshop. A woman from Los Angeles was there, and they took an interest in me. Some of the agents and managers in Nashville took an interest in me, and they said, you know, we're going to try to get you some work. And I said, well, yeah, I don't have any money. I don't know what you want me to do. So I said, I'll stick around for a week, and if I don't find anything in a week, then I got to go home. So I slept in my car for a week, and every morning I would wake up in a parking lot of like the Howard Johnson's, and I would walk to the side of the door, and someone would always let me in the hotel because I didn't look like I was a killer, and I would just small talk with them as they're checking out, and I would notice the keys that they had, what room number they were in. So then I would walk out with them, and then I would walk back in acting as if I was with the people who just left, and I would say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm with room 322. I forgot my wallet. Can I borrow my key to go get my wallet? And I'd go up there and I'd shower. And I did that for a week. And then a week later, I booked a commercial. And it was a Toyota commercial. My first Screen Actors Guild job that got me in the union.
Mm-hmm.
That job ran for gosh, 3 years. I mean, we did really well. And I booked a lot of jobs while I was in Nashville. Went to Orlando, Florida, worked at Universal Studios and worked there quite a bit. And then 18 years ago, I moved to Los Angeles. And that is the story.
You know what I think is great? And I'm a big process guy. I really love the process and behind the scenes. A lot of times people don't realize that actors, I think they see them as two different kinds. Either you see them as the big megastar that, you know, either hits a high and then plummets or disappears or whatever. And then you hear, well, you can't make it as an actor. It's too hard to do it. But people don't realize most actors are just working actors, like the vast majority.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's either, like you said, there's people who make $5 a year and there's people who make $50 million a year. But you got to remember, if you look on television, there's a lot of supporting characters that make a wonderful living that just work and they go from job to job to job. It's just like a salesman. Mm-hmm. You know, any salesman that works around, you know, they have to get another client and they have to keep working. And, you know, you have to sell yourself. And I think the way you sell yourself as an actor is you go on a film or a TV show, you do the best job you can. You prove that, you know, you're a team player and you're there to help and you just work hard. And I think that's how you get jobs. Work begets work.
And you've done a lot.
You end up working with the same people a lot. Once you find a group of people that you like and you trust and you want to work with, those same groups continue to work for years and years and years. And that's becoming evident with what I'm doing right now.
Well, yeah, because you've been working for 20 years steadily.
It's been pretty, you know, I've been blessed. I really have been very fortunate to be able to work a little bit. Yeah. And it's fun to be able to come home and know that, you know, you're being able to work those acting chops out on different projects and, you know, you're able to explore and try new things. That's what's fun for me is doing different types of projects.
Speaking of projects, you've done a couple of my favorite. I mean, you've done a lot of TV, but a couple of my favorites, Prison Break and 24 are shows I love. I was kind of curious as an actor, when you show up and you're doing like a genre television show like that, where you have a fanatic fan base, is it more worrisome for you as an actor or is it just another job? It's really no different than any other show.
I wouldn't put the word worrisome. I'd put the word a challenge. I think it's more challenging because, you know, you really have to be true to that character because you have such a fan base that more eyeballs are on you, which means they're going to be more critical. You know, if you're doing a show like The Walking Dead compared to a show that's really not really well known, well, everyone knows that show. So they are diehard. But then coming back to the reality of it, it's really just another job. If you go in and you treat one job less than the other job, well, then you're not giving yourself the opportunity to be the best you can be. And you're cheating the audience. And my whole thing is, when I'm able to be on the screen, I want to make sure that the person sitting in the seats or at their house watching on TV, first and foremost, they're entertained. And if they're entertained by something that me or the cast or the cinematographer or the director can do, that is what it's about.
Man, that's how different is that from doing from TV to movies? Because you were in Transformers 3. That's a huge movie versus television.
Yeah,
is there any difference?
The way Transformers came about was they ended up cutting out some of the scenes. So my whole scene in the beginning of the movie was really just my big old noggin on the screen, which was fine. But they cut out a lot of the scene and the dialogue to where it became more of like just a visual. But yeah, you know, you have Michael Bay literally 8 inches to 12 inches in front of you with this camera. And it's intense because you know it's going to be a big movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I did a small independent film like Redline or Christmas Tree Miracle or one of those other projects I've done in the past with a smaller budget. You know, it's the same thing. You still have to deliver no matter who's in front of you, what director it is. You still have to deliver because if you don't, you're not going to work.
Yeah, you're not gonna. And I would assume for you, that's a huge challenge because you definitely want to impress the director because he's a big director and he might call on you again, that sort of thing. It just feels like that would be more pressure as an actor. You know, this is a huge movie, big director, oh man, you know, versus TV where it seems like a smaller ensemble.
Yeah, it's a small ensemble, but you wouldn't believe how many people now are doing television and film and they're back and forth and the director are bouncing around.
Yeah.
It also gets back to if you show up and you do your job and you're a team player and you don't try to be all about me and all about yourself, you just put yourself in a position to where you're always enhancing the scene. Even if the scene's not about you, you don't mug the camera, but you find something to do. You're always staying busy. And if you're always staying busy and present in that scene, then the camera will find you, and the people will acknowledge that something's going on. If nothing's happening in the scene, they're going to look at you and go, look, he's just standing there doing nothing. But if everyone's staying busy in the scene, it looks like it's real. You never want the audience to look at you and go, oh, well, they're acting. You just want it to be normal and making it look like it's supposed to happen.
Do you have a preference since you've done both? I mean, in terms of film or television, or really just love the challenge of either one?
Yeah, I mean, I like the challenge of either one. It all depends. I love going on location. I really enjoy being on location and filming in different markets. But then a lot of times my family aren't with me, so that's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the way television is now, there's so many televisions filmed on the East Coast and in Canada and all over the world that it's just different. It's just so much different than it used to be. So I'm just a fan of being able to work, and I just want to work with good people, and I just want to enjoy myself and challenge myself.
I love the way you present it, because the truth is, I mean, acting is a job. And I think, unfortunately, because of ETV, everybody thinks it's always glamorous, where a lot of times it is just work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I think that people have a misconception, like you said earlier. Oh, you're an actor. Oh, you're a director, or you're a model, or you're an athlete, or whatever, a rock star, whatever it may be. Yeah, that's true. But let's get back to it. It's a job that only more people see. That's the difference. I mean, it's no difference than the doctor, the chiropractor, the car salesman, the janitor. Everyone has a job they have to check into. The only difference between their job and our job is more people see it. And honestly, most people on a 9-to-5 work more than we do, because we have to prove ourselves every time to get another job. So, you know, I've been lucky in the last few years that I've been working steadily, but there's been years in the past where I've gone a year without zero work, which means you have 40 or 30 or whatever, how many auditions,
mm-hmm.
and you don't book any of those. So let's say you book that 35th audition, and let's say you make a little bit of money out of that. Well, really, I'm making money on that 35th on that 35th job, and I'm kind of getting paid for all those auditions that I never got. So it's kind of like I'm getting paid for a year's worth of work, and I'm working for 6 weeks.
It all makes sense. I mean, it all comes together.
I mean, think about it, because if I'm a car salesman and I sell 5 cars, I make 5 cars worth of money, and that's great. But, you know, if I go on and I'm an actor and I audition for 50, and listen, I had 86 auditions 1 year, and I got none of them.
Oh, man.
And then the next year I had 6 auditions and I got none of them. So the next year, you book 1 job. Well, now you've just made money on 1 job, but it covers 86 plus those other 6 auditions. So almost 100 auditions you're getting paid for. That's kind of how you have to make it look. Because when you do work as an actor, let's say you make $5,000 or $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might have to last you for 10 years. It might have to last you for 6 months. You never know.
Man. That's a tough business. It's a very tough business.
It is, and it takes a special person to be in the arts, not just as an actor. I'm talking about as a DP. I'm talking about as a gaffer. I'm talking about as an editor. Any part of the arts is always a challenge and always a gamble, and you have to bet on yourself, and not in a conceited way. You have to bet on yourself that you are going to make it work, and you're going to just do it, and it's going to work out.
How hard is that for your family? If you don't mind me, if that's too personal, you don't have to answer. I'm just curious.
No, it's not personal. No, now I can't tell you how big of a support system I have for my family. My wife Gina is a strength and conditioning coach. She's a lot of people know her as the trainer to the stars, Gina Lombardi, and she's been training movie celebrities for years. And she knows this business, and she understands what it takes and how much I have to travel sometimes. And my son's also an actor. He's on the show Nashville.
Oh, nice.
So he gets it. So we're all together, and we're doing projects sometimes where we're together. And I like to look at it as if you're on a highway. My family, we're on the 405 highway, and I have one lane. My son has one lane, and my wife has one lane. And we're all three taking care of our own lanes. We're all three busy doing our own thing, personal life, professional life. But what we try to do as a family is merge those lanes together as much as possible so we can be together and work together on those projects. And we've been able to do that, and we have other projects in the future where we're going to be able to do that. So I like to try to take those three lanes and try to put it together as one big carpool lane as much as possible.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Woodlawn, how did you get attached to this?
Andy Irwin contacted me and asked me to come and meet him at the Mom's Night Out premiere when they did it in Los Angeles last year. And when I did so, he said, listen, I have this movie called Woodlawn that we might be doing. If we do it, I'll let you know. We touched base over the course of months after, and I was actually in Nashville, Tennessee, shooting a movie called The Last Best Summer Ever, directed by Ken Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was in Nashville shooting his show, Nashville, at the same time. So we were together the whole time for 3 months working with my wife, all of us together. And I get a phone call. Andy says, hey, check your email. I think you're right for Jerry Stearns. What do you think? I looked at it, and I was like, are you kidding me? Yes, yes, and yes. And that's kind of how it happened. So I drove 2 hours to Birmingham, and the whole time I was filming, I was bouncing back and forth between Nashville and Birmingham, seeing my family and shooting Woodlawn.
What about the story spoke to you?
A few things.
Okay.
A, when you have a director that asks you to be a part of a project, you have to put that as a high priority list, because that doesn't happen a lot. You know, when you know someone that really just comes to you and says, I want you to be a part of this, that's really special, and that kind of jumps to the top of the list. When I read the script, I knew it was a football movie, so that was already a two check marks positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had such a great message. Not only did it have a great faith message to it, which is wonderful, that's three check marks, but it had a great moral message, a message about history, a message that would take you from a viewer watching a movie. And I knew when you leave the movie, you would think and you would ask questions, and it would make you a better person, and it would make you try to analyze what's going on in your own life. If I can be part of those types of movies, oh my gosh, that just grabs my heart. So I jumped on it as fast as I could.
And I got a question for you. Recently, we were on the Hollywood Outsider, we were talking about faith-based movies, which Woodlawn is a faith-based movie. And I guess it almost has a stigma, I think, attached to it, which I just don't understand, because every movie, every genre has a niche to some degree. So what's the difference? But it seems like whenever a faith-based film comes out, it seems like there's always a detractor or someone that's, well, that's a faith-based movie. I don't want to see it. I mean, I don't quite understand that. But have you gotten any of that, or does that even make sense to you as an actor?
No, not only have I gotten it, but I understand it, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
It's almost like there should be two categories of faith-based films, because a lot of faith-based movies are not that good because they don't hire actors to portray their characters. Does that make sense? You see Christian films, you're like, wait a minute, you can tell they're not actors. And listen, it's nothing against people who are trying to be actors, but if I'm a doctor, I'm not going to hire you, who's not a doctor, to come in and do surgery on my mom.
That's a good point.
So why would you hire your neighbor and not pay them or give them $5 to go over and say, hey, can you say some dialogue? It's very obvious that they can't act. So there's the problem. But the issue with it is people are so hungry for family entertainment, a movie that you can take your 2-year-old or your 92-year-old grandma too. They're so hungry to go see good family entertainment that they'll still support it. And
mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that they're there, because it's great that they have those movies. But I think with Woodlawn and some of the movies that are coming out now that have a faith message to it, there's no way that the faith market can survive without raising the bar, because I think Woodlawn has raised the bar with just the acting alone, not only the storytelling and the cinematography, but the acting alone in Woodlawn is the best acting I've ever seen from a faith-based film.
Oh, there's some great,
aside from Passion of the Christ.
There's some great actors in there too. I mean, you got Sean Astin, you've got John Voight's in it. I mean, there's some high caliber as well.
No, it's fantastic. And you know, when you get an A+ cinema score, it's the first time cinema score has given a movie an A+ since American Sniper.
Mm-hmm.
We have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Every genre is giving us good reviews. And listen, everyone's not going to like the movie. It is what it is. No one's going to give it a great review, I guess, because there's always something you can pick apart on every project. But we're fortunate enough to have a movie that a lot of people are really gravitating to. And I think it's going to be one of those movies that lingers around, and people are going to really find out about it tomorrow and the next day. And the next day after that, and it's going to be one of those projects that I know a lot of football teams and a lot of people are going to be supporting it and showing it to their team every year.
It's really about, it's about a young high school football player who's Tony, right?
Yeah, Tony Nathan.
Tony Nathan. Tell us about his story. Tell people, you know, what about his story, why it appealed to you. I mean, what a lot of times people have seen sports movies, and I think, you know, you've heard the inspiring tales, you've seen Remember the Titans, films like that. So you kind of have this, all right, is it going to be the same kind of thing? But it's much more than that.
Yeah, it's a lot more than that. Tony Nathan is from Birmingham, Alabama, and he was in the middle of the racial tension in Birmingham, which, you know, you do your history back in the 70s, and it was just a horrible place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And George Wallace stated that there will never be a black player to ever go to a school like Alabama. And that, you know, you make those statements back in those days, and that's harsh. So you have schools now that were integrated. Now they're coming together. The blacks and whites are now coming to the same school. And that was, a lot of people didn't want that to happen in the 70s. And when you have an African-American athlete like Tony Nathan come through a white school and just become a superstar. Before there were Bo Jackson in the Alabama world, mm-hmm. there was a guy named Tony Nathan, and he was a stud. But he was a quiet guy. He wasn't a guy that boasted a lot. He was just a guy that did his business, played hard, and he was a good Christian kid. And his character is played by Caleb Castile, who's also from Birmingham, who also played at the University of Alabama as well. So you have all this going on, and then you have a guy named Hank Irwin, who is played by Sean Astin. He comes through as a chaplain, just saying, hey, I heard there's a lot of stuff going on with your school. I want to help. And the head football coach, Candy Gerald, played by Nick Bishop, he's like, man, I don't want you near our school. This is crazy. It's a public school. We can't talk about that stuff. But it gives him 5 minutes. And those 5 minutes become over an hour of conversation. And every kid but four gave their life to Christ because they heard Hank saying, you got to play for something else other than yourself. You got to play for something higher.
Mm-hmm.
And my character, Jerry Stearns, falls into that with these kids. And we just give our life. And then it takes a long time for Candy to come around and go, you know what? I want what my kids have. And these kids, the football team, go on to do amazing things. And that's what the story's about. It's about perseverance. It's about playing for something higher than yourself. It's about loving one another. It's just a wonderful movie.
And like you said, you are getting rave reviews. The film is getting just rave reviews. I've got family members that went and saw it. I personally haven't seen it yet, but I plan to very shortly. Family members went and saw it, loved it. They thought it was just a positive message, well presented. And they specifically said it wasn't like previous faith-based films, which speaks to your earlier point. You know, they said
Here's why. It's A, because the script is written in a way that it gravitates towards the audience. They really just, you fall in love with the characters and the actors that are playing the characters. They're so interesting and they're so good. The actors are really, really good. And the way they shot this movie, John and Andy wanted this movie to be shot not from the outside in, but from the inside out. So we're not going long lenses like they did with Rudy and some of these football movies. They're taking you inside. They want you to see the shoestrings. They want you to see the ball being snapped. So you're seeing it from a player's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It puts you in the movie, and that's a big difference.
So is marketing a film like this any different?
Yeah, they did a lot of grassroots marketing. There's not been a lot of secular marketing, and I think that's going to change in the next week or two. But it's really getting it out to the word of mouth. I have a feeling that the secular marketing is going to start cranking up soon, because once you have a film that's getting such good ratings, then now everyone's going to talk about it. And it's also that fear of missing out. Word mm-hmm. of mouth gives you that fear of missing out of, man, I keep hearing about this movie, Woodlawn. I got to go see it. And next thing you know, you have a firestorm starting.
Yeah, and I think honestly, one of the unfortunate stigmas is people need to look at, it's just a movie. You know, there are movies out there that are definitely faith-based, and that's the only market they're going for. But everybody I know that has seen this said, you know, it's not like it's slamming a message at you. It's a really good movie, and it just happens to have religious overtones.
Well, yeah, but let's look at it this way. Not only is it a religious movie, but guess what? It's a true story. This is what happened. John and Andy Irwin,
mm-hmm.
the directors of this movie, their dad, Hank Irwin, played by Sean, this is a bedtime story they've heard for 40 years. This really happened. So we have the liberty to say whatever we want because it's true. If it wasn't true, then you can say, oh, it's another faith-based film that has some religious overtones. Okay, but what about a military movie that had people pass away in the middle of battle? That's what happened, so you have to tell it accurately, and that's what Woodlawn did.
It's really good, man. I wish the best for the movie. And I know I've kept you a little longer than you had time for, so I do appreciate you indulging me a little bit.
No, that's okay. Hey, man, and we've been doing great. The social media site is #WoodlawnMovie.
Okay.
So if they're on social media, #WoodlawnMovie, and if someone wants to tweet something out, we'll make sure we get back to them. I'm at Kevin Sizemore, so we'll all the cast members are very, very active in social media, and it's fun to be able to interact with the fans, and they have questions, or they just like the movie. It's really cool.
Well, what's next for you? What's next for Kevin Sizemore?
What's next is I'm sitting right now with my director, Billy Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
We are putting together our project called Believe, and Believe is going to be with Ryan O'Quinn and Miles Brown, who a lot of people know him from Black-ish. We're shooting this in Grundy, Virginia, starting next year. And I actually have three other projects in development. We're working on the Metal Arc Lemon story from the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, really?
And we have another. Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. I'm doing that with Relentless Media out of Arizona. And my partner, Greg Robbins, and I co-wrote a military film called Where Heaven and Hell Collide. And that takes place in Buffalo, New York. It's about a guy who comes back from the war, and he deals with all of his fellow partners in the VA, and he's trying to help them take care of their life and get, moving forward. But really what he has to do is also take care of the demons in his own life. But we all know that when you're in the VA, you don't have a voice, and this movie's about giving the VA veterans a voice.
Oh, that sounds great. That really does sound great.
Well, thank you, man.
Definitely looking forward to it. I'm going to let you go because I know that you're already quite a bit longer than you intended. Thanks very much for coming by the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and please pop me a link when you guys get this out. I'd love to see it.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Have a great day. Appreciate
All right.
your call.
Take care, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go, guys. That was my interview with Kevin Sizemore. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And remember, Woodlawn is in theaters now, so be sure to check that out. And if you tweet him on social media, that's #WoodlawnMovie. Don't forget that. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. We like to do interviews every now and again. We don't do them that often, but when we do it, we hope we're bringing you something that you're not used to hearing. I mean, I think everybody hears sound bites, one after another of actors touting their movies, but it's not very often you actually get an in-depth conversation with somebody who actually works behind the scenes, and that's what we try to do. If we do an interview, that's what we want to do. And we appreciate Kevin stopping by and being very open and honest to talking about what it's like to be a working actor, what it's like to work in faith-based films, and kind of that stigma that for some reason is attached, which makes no sense because you don't attach a stigma to horror lovers and action junkies, but hey, you can't control what people think, right? Well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Remember, you can find all of our episodes at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can also get your hoe on the go with our Android or Apple apps. Those are free, so be sure to check them out, and you can listen to the show wherever you go. It's awesome. Or you can go on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. We're everywhere. I'm out of here, guys. So remember, the next time you go to the theater to see Woodlawn, buy popcorn.